Business in the Community is the UK's leading organisation committed to corporate responsibility, which I've just heard is dead, so I'm going to be looking for new jobs. therefore, we do have an interest in the issues around this topic. I know not everybody is familiar with Business in the Community, so I'm going to just very briefly tell you who we are. We are a membership organisation, as Caroline has said, for companies who are committed to doing business responsibly. We've been here in Northern Ireland since 1989, and we have over 260 or so companies here. We're UK-wide, and we've been going in Great Britain since the early 80s, when the riots in inner city areas like Brixton and Toxteth led Prince Charles to go to some business leaders and ask what they could do to help with the situation and create stronger and healthier communities, and we've been one of his charities ever since. And our purpose is to challenge and support business to be a force for good in society. So what exactly is it that we do? We work with companies to help them address those responsibilities towards their people, the planet, and the places where they operate. We call this the three P's, and it's a different three P's to the one that Claire spoke about earlier today. And where this aligns with, modern slavery aligns with our agenda is under our people theme, naturally enough. And there are two strands to that. So with regards to existing employees, it's about concentrating on employee wellbeing, inclusion and engagement. And the second strand then is about the future workforce and supporting people into employment. Everything that we do is about the principle of doing it responsibly within business, and so labour exploitation of any sort clearly goes against our ethos and the ethos that we encourage our members to embrace. The approach that we take with businesses is to challenge them, certainly, but to encourage and support them to identify and address their responsibilities. And we show the way and the positive benefits of doing that rather than beating them with a big stick. On this particular issue, what we've done to date is limited, admittedly, but our first initiative was in 2005, following the influx of migrants from Eastern Europe after the accession of the A8 countries to the EU the previous year. And we developed a voluntary code of practice on employing migrant workers. We worked with a number of companies in different sectors at that time who were keen to learn how to give their new employees the best start here in Northern Ireland. And then in 2010, at the behest of OFM-DFM, we revisited this work in partnership with some other organisations and created best practice guidelines and case studies for companies who employed migrant workers. And this time around, the emphasis was slightly different, because it was it wasn't a new issue as such at that stage, and it was more about working with companies to fully embed migrants within their business and also in wider society. And the employers that we work with today are very clear in most cases that they don't want to make a distinction between migrant workers and any other class of employee. And for them, inclusiveness is the key, and their approach is really to treat everyone the same. So we've heard already that about the extent of slavery across the world, and that the UK and Northern Ireland are not exempt, they're not trouble-free. And there was some research compiled in 2011 by the Joseph Rowntree Foundation and updated in 2014. And it suggests, as I think has already been pointed out, that the sectors where it's most pervasive here are around fruit picking and mushroom cultivation, other aspects of agriculture, fishing and domestic servitude. And the migrants, the asylum seekers, and those whose legal status is perhaps uncertain are most vulnerable to being exploited, and clearly steps need to be taken to address the issues we have right here on our own doorstep within those sectors. However, by far the biggest, the bigger proportion of problems are happening outside of Northern Ireland and the UK and the supply chains of companies, as Andrew has pointed out to us. And this is where it becomes a lot more complex. It's less transparent, and it's arguably harder for companies to be sure that their operations are not open to exploitation somewhere further down the line. But they must now try to ensure that. And just yesterday I was reading about how the BBC had uncovered evidence that a number of our most well-known tea producing brands have workers living in dangerous and degrading conditions on very low wages on tea farms in the developing world, and they're supplying the likes of PG Tips and Tetley and Twinings. So, you know, the problem is very much there, and although companies are, a lot of companies I think are trying hard to deal with it, it is difficult. And the new Modern Slavery Act that has been talked about today, I think will be a great help in that regard, with its fairly unique requirement to ensure that supply chains, wherever they are free of slavery and requiring companies to disclose on that fact. Where I believe it might fall a little short is in setting the bar too high, in my view, in terms of the size of companies to which it applies. We know at the minute that it's larger companies with turnover of over 36 million, and here in Northern Ireland, I don't believe we have too many companies who meet that requirement. And also, as has been pointed out, it does allow companies to simply state that they have taken no steps towards ensuring their supply chains are slavery-free. And I guess we just would need to hope there that the reputational damage that approach would incur would be a sufficient deterrent for companies not to do that. So I think businesses have a clear responsibility to act. Whether or not they fall under the jurisdiction of the Modern Slavery Act, in my view, the problem is that quite often it is the unregulated and unscrupulous smaller businesses that operate in the edges of society and perhaps outside of the law that are guilty in many cases. And although they may claim an economic imperative for their actions, there is no economic imperative that excuses the exploitation of other human beings, so we do need to address this. Earlier this year, our national office in London produced an insight paper on the Modern Slavery Act for our members, and I would encourage businesses to read that and follow some of the advice that we've set out in there. But in terms of what business needs to do, I mean, it sounds so simple when you say it, and I know it's not a simple problem with simple solutions, but you know, at a local level, treat all workers the same, regardless of where they come from, what vulnerabilities they have, respect their human rights, keep them the law. And at Business in the Community, we would be encouraging our members to go further, to invest in their employees and their well-being, and ensure that they are fairly treated and feel engaged in the business. Provide a safe and a fair working environment that doesn't discriminate against anyone on the basis of their nationality, religion, gender, or any other circumstances, and take the time to know what those circumstances are and whether, as an employer, there's anything that you can do to offer support that will make life easier for an employee. And another crucial aspect is training your recruiters to spot the signs of exploitation by third-party labour providers that you might be dealing with. And again, that's where a lot of the hidden exploitation is likely to be coming from. You've already heard from a few NGOs working in this space, and I think crucially we would say that there are resources and there is advice and support and expertise there within that sector. Deirdre mentioned earlier the Stronger Together collaboration between business organisations, NGOs, government, etc. And they've produced some excellent resources and toolkits for employers, including a fairly comprehensive worker questionnaire, which can help employers to be aware of the issues that their employees may be facing and their circumstances. And I would urge all companies to make use of those resources. There are other organisations like SEDEX who are dedicated to driving improvements around responsible supply chain management. There are 38,000 members around the world there who are engaging in exchanging ethical supply chain data. And that's another valuable source of information and support. And I know a few Northern Ireland companies are already signed up to that. I had quite a bit I was going to cover on supply chain, but I think Andrew has more than adequately covered all of that, and we are tight for time, so I won't do that. Just the last point there, I think it is important for companies to communicate when they are doing the right thing, because in doing that, they help to set a standard for what is acceptable in society. They do help to educate people in the issues, whether it's within their sector, whether it's their customers, and they let us know what those issues are and what they're doing to address them. And I think that does help to build a movement for positive change within the sector. And other people have picked up on this point as well, but I wanted to make the point that whilst I don't for one minute want to dilute the responsibility of business here, I think it would be remiss not to point out that as consumers we have a huge responsibility. Andrew talked about the demand that we create for cheap products, etc., and he's already embarrassed us all into admitting that we're inadvertently supporting slavery in various forms. And although the Global Slavery Index carried out a survey in 2014 and through that claimed that 66% of British consumers would switch brands if slavery was used to make their favourite products, I think our actions tell a very different story. And despite being at the centre of two scandals involving labour exploitation in 2010 and 2011, which resulted in the deaths of over 150 employees at Foxconn, Apple devotees, and I hold my hand up sitting there with my iPad, half an iPhone myself, have not been deterred by the company's poor record in this regard. Sales of Apple devices have not really suffered particularly because, truth be told, we ourselves are slave to the brand, the power of the brand. And if it isn't the brand that attracts us, chances are it's the low prices. And let's be honest, how many of us stop to consider how the likes of Primark and Matalan can charge less for a new top or a new dress than the material that it would take to actually make that top? I think if we did, we would realise that simple economic theory dictates that somewhere along the chain there, from design to point of sale, somebody is not getting a fair deal, and chances are that the victims are the low-paid and unfairly treated machinists and workers in the developing country that are helping to make these low-priced items for us for unspeakable wages. The picture there is of the disaster at the Rana Plaza plant in Bangladesh in 2013, in which over 1,100 people lost their lives. And that was one of the more publicised tragedies that was heard of around the world, and I guess a lot of us were kind of outraged by it at the time. But it's been caused by the greed that we as consumers in the Western world and other parts of the world have. And I think both companies and consumers who are willing to pay less and less without questioning how are complicit in this. So what does business need to do? I just want to finish up on a slightly more positive note, because in my experience and our experience at Business in the Community, the majority of employers here are responsible and they do want to do the right thing. And that's all we ask, that you do the right thing when it comes to employing people, regardless of where they're from or what their circumstances might be. That you do the right thing by taking time to know where the risks are in your supply chain and working to eradicate those risks and ensure fair treatment for all. Do the right thing by taking a longer term view of your business responsibilities and your company's sustainability, and don't cut costs to make a quick buck. And I think Business in the Community could perhaps play a useful role here in ensuring that our members are aware of these issues and the risks and the steps that they can take to avoid being part of this problem, and I'll commit that we will do that going forward. And I want to leave you with a quote from one of our local food producers, Dennis Lynn, who manages a company called Finnebrogue, and his take on the responsibility of business in this matter, and I'm not going to try and read it out because I think it makes me quite emotional actually, but I'll leave it there for you to look at. Thank you.